I roam sacred ground. My body is my altar, my temple. I cast a circle with my breath. I touch the earth with my fingers. I answer to the fire of my spirit. My blood pulses in time with larger rhythms, past, present, future, connected, rooted, breathing. The reach of my fingers, my ritual, the song of my blood, my blessing, my electric mind, my offering. Breathing deep, stretching out, opening wide. My body is my altar. My body is my temple. My living presence on this earth, my prayer. Thank you. So welcome to the third week of the Goddess Magic Circle. And I just wanted to share for a few minutes some thoughts on creating sacred space, sacred daily practices, daily prayers, and personal ceremony. And while I believe this, and when I don't, I start to feel uncentered, I start to feel moody, depressed a little bit, disconnected, cut off, kind of. And so it just takes a few moments, a few things to tune back in, to connect again. And for me, some of those practices are things like drumming and rattling. So I have my drum, I have my rattle when I go out to do work in my tiny temple outside, which is really close to my house, but it's outside of my house. And when I go out to the tiny temple, I drum and rattle to clear the space and to kind of center me, to ground me. And so I've got my rattle, got my drum. Consider those very important tools for my connection. I also often spontaneously sing, which singing is not one of my particular gifts, but words are one of my particular gifts, and sound and music and chanting are one of the things that transports me into sacred space. And so I often find myself when I enter my tiny temple and I drum and I rattle and ground and center myself, I often find myself singing some kind of spontaneous little song, often one that I don't remember later. It's like it just comes to me in that kind of in a channeled moment. And then if I don't remember to write it down or otherwise note it, it's gone. I've lost it. It comes through me, is shared in that little circle just with me, just between me and her. And then it's gone, and I don't have it anymore. And sometimes they have their own little tunes, they have their own little rhythms, and their own little words, and they just kind of emerge spontaneously, usually about sacred space, holy ground, sometimes something I need to learn or remember or know in that moment. And if I can, I write them down. But otherwise, it's one of those momentary experiences. And I do also like to sing the circle casting song by Reclaiming is one of my favorite ones. I find it easy to remember and to sing on my own, usually with my drum. And so when I have a little bit more time and I want to create more of a sense of having cast the circle on my own, I will sing circle casting song by Reclaiming. I'm going to go ahead and play it now. It's a good one to listen to and set the tone, but I usually just sing it by myself. Another thing that I like to do is a mini ritual. It's just to draw a card. I usually use woman runes because they work well for me, but I also like the Gaian Tarot. I like Wisdom of Avalon cards. I like Daughters of the Moon. I like Earth Magic cards. There's a lot of cards that I like. I find woman runes speak really directly and simply right to me, so that's what I usually use. But I draw the card, and I find I have lots of neat experiences with cards in that I really find their way of communicating, whether you're communicating with your own deep self, with your inner wisdom, something that you already know, and the card gives you a way of accessing something, or really in a way of kind of talking to the goddess, whether you perceive her as deity, archetype, or ideal. And I've had enough experiences with them to feel like they can be a direct means of communication with something outside of myself, while also being a tool to access wisdom that's deep within that maybe I'm having trouble accessing in another way. So they form both conduits for me inside, and then also a type of conduit to the divine. That's why they call it divination, after all. And as we talked about in the first week, how we perceive and relate to the goddess and how we connect with her as a force, as a being, as a power, as a relationship, as a web of connection, that doesn't matter as much as the fact that you make the connection with wherever and however you're making that connection. And so cards are one of the ways I do that, and I've had enough mystical, magical sort of experiences with them to feel like sometimes it really is the goddess winking at me through those cards. So another way to connect in personal ceremony is to set up an altar space. And I used to be more casual about setting up altar spaces, and maybe sort of set them up by routine or rote. So sort of here's some nice little things, and I lined them all up and represented earth, air, water, fire, and then called it good. And in the last couple of years, I've gotten much more intentional and purposeful about altar building. And so, and the act, instead of just making one and leaving it up till it gets all dusty for a long time, instead I create and move them and rearrange things very purposefully for purposeful occasions. So when I was recording the full moon ritual and making this recording, I set up a very specific full moon sisterhood altar space on the floor of my tiny temple. And it was I very mindfully constructed and laid out the things. And while we could say, maybe we don't have time for that, you know, maybe that's too much work. And I almost did. I sat down with my things and I thought, I only have an hour to do both these recordings, and no one would even know if I had this space set up. I could just do it right here, right now. And maybe I'm just making it hard on myself. And so there's a tender line I find to walk between making something hard on yourself and deciding that you're worth it. And so, yes, we carry this connection within us always. We always have access to the goddess within and without, within and without, around us, through us, of us, around us. And but when we take the few extra moments to make it special, to consciously come into relationship and to consciously create a magical sacred space for ourselves, it's a way of saying that we're worth it. We're worth it. And so I did set up my space, and I did light my candles and get out my supplies and create something that was beautiful to me. And before I began. And so I really encourage taking the time to do those things. At the same time, recognizing that it's done is better than perfect, and good enough is better than never doing anything at all. So you do what you can where you are with what you have. And every day is sacred. Every day is magic. And when you pay attention and tune in to what's happening around you, you'll see it. There's all kinds of stuff out there all the time that's independent of the trappings, of the figures, of the drum, of the setting up the altar cloth, while at the same time. So both matter. The spontaneous everyday magic, but also taking the time to consciously create something special for yourself. And so I do have several permanent altar spaces inside the house that I do change seasonally. So I update them for the season. I change the flower. I keep fresh flowers on the one by the door, and I change the flowers once a week or so, once every 2 weeks. And then I have one in the tiny temple that changes each month, themed around Ariadne's thread. So every cycle that we switch to in the chapters of that book, I change the altar space to match that chapter. And then when I have rituals or circles, red tents or ceremonies, I build a specific altar to match that theme and intent. And when I'm making a recording like this one, I take down the Ariadne's thread thematic altar and put up one that's specific to where we are and what we're doing. I also love tiny pocket altars, and I keep some of our mini goddesses in a bag with my Woman Runes cards, and then I can set up a little tiny mini sacred space wherever I am. No problem at all. And I keep some little goddesses in my pockets, so if I'm out in the woods and I see some pretty flowers, I can whip out some little goddesses and have a little space right there. And I also keep a little medicine bag with a little goddess, a little shell, a little stone, and I tuck it inside my shirt. I usually wear camisoles under my shirt, and I tuck my little pouch right down there. And so it's always with me, a little portable space. I consider my body in general kind of a portable altar space, and conscious sacred adornment's important to me. I mindfully choose the jewelry that I wear and the bracelets that I wear, and for the specific mood, intention, connections that I'm making. And then I have my little goddesses and my little pouches that I carry around. And for me, that works. You might find something else that works. For me, it's a simple little way to make contact. I wear a spiral goddess necklace. I like to touch the spiral on the belly as a little check-in, little sacred space within. And so, as I've said, one of the purposes of this experience that we're sharing together is in personal ceremony. So I am a vocational priestess. I serve the community in a priestess capacity. And so I usually think of group ritual as, like, I have no trouble seeing group ritual as important and real, like, quote unquote, real. That's kind of where my heart lies and where I see a lot of power. At the same time, personal ceremony that you do alone for yourself as a hearth priestess, priestess of your own hearth, self-priestessing, that is so powerful and important too. And when group ritual for me is very connecting to other women and to woman spirit, so I connect in group ritual in a powerful way with the other women, but I find that the connection to the goddess is formed most strongly when I'm alone in solitary ritual. And it took me quite a while to realize how valuable and powerful that is, and how worthy of nurturing, how worthy of cultivation that time and space is. So personal ceremony is powerful. And while those of you who know me from my Woods Priestess blog know that I have a sacred space in the woods behind my house, the large stones back there that I call the Priestess Rocks, where I go almost every day and I step out onto those rocks, or I sit on the rocks, I draw my card, I set up my little sculptures. I notice what's going on around me. I watch the trees. I notice the seasons. I look for animals, birds flying overhead. I notice the bugs when it's summer. I notice the ice when it's winter. I notice the flower petals as they fall. I notice the wind as it blows, the change in the temperatures. For me, that is the heart of my personal practice. That's the heart of the goddess to me. It's where I touch her, where she touches me, and where I communicate. And then at the same time, I have a personal ceremony that's a little more in depth. So that's my daily practice, to go step out into the woods. It's very vital to my health and well-being. And at the same time, I love to set up, and then I have a red tent once a month, and then I have a small study group with a very small group of women that are really important to me, where we meet for goddess magic once a month. So there's two separate things, red tent, then there's that group. And then there's my daily practice of going out to the woods. But I also like to have a moon ceremony. I have one for myself, and then also I have a family full moon ritual with my kids and my husband. And so we all go out together to have a ritual outdoors with the moon on the full moon. And And then I have a Then I have a personal ceremony for myself, a lunar priestess ritual, I call it, on the full moon, where it's just me alone in my tiny temple. And I take more time to consciously, cleanse and center and maybe I'll do a shamanic journey or something more in-depth and invested. So the daily simple practices keep you connected. And then the once a month, more larger, more powerful rituals, maybe more powerful is even the wrong word, but the more elaborate, more created, more in-depth, those are special too. So basically, I'm like, all rituals, all the time, baby. So we've got group rituals, we've got family ritual, we've got private ritual, we've got personal ritual, daily ritual. And so there's never too much as far as I'm concerned. And it really is. It's a radical act, and in many ways a subversive act, to step forward and to declare that your own. It's you're declaring that you're worth it. You're declaring women are worth it. You're declaring the goddess is worth it. Like, these are powerful socio-political, socio-cultural statements. It's not just like sitting around with a candle by yourself drumming. This is a statement for the world, and it matters. So I meant to actually say earlier that the other thing I do each day I have a series of daily prayers that I say each morning before I even get up. So the first thing I do when I wake up in the morning, I come conscious. A lot of times, I interestingly wake up with a song in my head almost every day, every morning, and I kind of pay attention to what is that song? Like, how is that making a connection to the day? It's just what happens to be there. Sometimes it's a song we sang the night before. Sometimes it's something I haven't thought of in a long time. Sometimes it's a song that somebody else has shared, a song that we've sung at past rituals. But I almost always wake up with a song in my head. And so I listen to that song for a minute, see what it is. And then I have a series of daily prayers that I go through, about four or five prayers that I just repeat. Before I get up, I'm usually laying there nursing the baby and waiting for the day to begin. And so that's another really, for me, powerful personal touchstone and type of connection. And then later in the day, I go to the woods, I do my card, and then at certain points during the month, then I have larger, more elaborately worked on ceremonies and rituals. And so basically, it all matters. And one of the things, my favorite quote about ritual, actually, I have lots of favorite quotes about ritual, but one of my favorite quotes about ritual, one of my top favorites, comes from the book Casting the Circle. And in that book, Diane Stein says, ritual is a way of speaking to the goddess. In it, women invoke both the inner and the universal deity into the circle or group, or into your personal life. Ritual is a way of reaching the being of the goddess, of the earth mother, and of women's goddess within. It is a way of creating thoughtfully chosen changes in the earth plane and in women's individual lives. So ritual is a way we speak to the goddess. And I would say it's also a way that we speak to ourselves. We speak to, and that is such a evocative and important explanation. And so these rituals touch the core of the sacred with us. And so Diane Stein goes on to say, anyone can talk to the goddess. She exists all around us in every living thing and every creation. She exists within. Women are part of the goddess. They contain the goddess within themselves. The earth is the goddess, as is everything on the earth. She is the eternal mother. If a woman wants to speak to the goddess, she just sits down and talks to her. And so this rings very true to me. When I'm in need of guidance, wisdom, still space to listen to my heart, I go sit on the rocks in the woods and I listen and I speak aloud to the wisdom that flows through me when I'm in that natural space and the natural place in which I feel in direct contact with the goddess. And so then in the book, The Politics of Women's Spirituality, the writer Adrienne Rush, she says, the rituals being created today by various women are part of the renaissance of women's spirituality, that is, of the ultimate holiness or life sacredness of women and the female creative process. Within a world which for centuries has tried to brand women as unclean or even as corruptors of
of men, this healing process is a vital one. And she says, too, that reforming patriarchal religions is not possible, just as reforming capitalism is not possible. The very institutions are contradictory to feminism. That women need to create new theory and practices for ourselves in order to reunite spiritual elements with the social political. And then she also says, another favorite quote, "It seems to me that it may be possible to create women's religions within this culture even more when the other institutions haven't yet caught up with them, and to use these spiritual groups as vital centers for creating radically different ways of living. Women's spirituality groups can become birth centers for social change." And I would say that private ceremony and personal ceremony can be a birth center for personal change and also for social change. So we think of ritual sometimes from the outside, it might look a little silly. What's she doing sitting down there on the rock again with her rattle and her drum? Like, come on. Why are they, sometimes I'm questioned about the use of cards. Like, what do you really think is happening when you draw that card? Like, what's it, what's that really doing? You really think you're talking to the goddess with a card? And what it is that these are not just silly or lightweight practices, but these are a vital transformative importance, and they're also of political significance. And so coming back to Stein again, I really like that Casting the Circle book. And she says that the self-empowerment that's central in the women's spirituality movement and it's central in women's rituals, that these rituals that we create, they create a microcosm or a little universe within which we try out the ways we want the macrocosm or the big universe or real world to be. Within the safety and protected space of the caste circle, women create their idea of what the world would be like to live in under matriarchal or goddess women's values. The woman who, in the safety of the caste circle, designs the world as she would like it to be, takes that memory of creation and success out into daily life. A woman who, in ritual meditation, heals herself and the wrongs of the world, who sees herself whole and the planet clean and free, leaves the circle with a greater idea of what is possible and what it would be like. She has a greater impetus to take that microcosm into daily life and accomplish it on earth. By empowering women through the microcosm of the ritual's caste circle, change becomes possible in the macrocosm real world. That is so cool. That is magic there. There's a political, social, and cultural statement. This is personal and political together. And so these it starts with private ritual and personal connection, and it spreads to be world-changing. And so going to another book, the book Rituals for Our Times, there are five functions of rituals, like why should we do them, why do they matter, what's the point? And they point out that one purpose is simply relating, forming relationships, strengthening relationships, making connections. The second one is changing, marking and making transitions for self and others, so we can acknowledge these transitions and changes in our lives. The ritual form is an acknowledging container of the changes, even just marking the passage, the changes of the moon, the changes of the seasons through ritual. We're noticing. It's a noticing of this changing process. Healing is another function of ritual. The purpose of ritual is for healing. Another is believing. The ritual is a voicing of beliefs and the making of meaning. So when we take time to honor ourselves and honor others through ceremony, we're saying that our experiences, our stories, our lives are valuable and meaningful, and they deserve celebration and acknowledgement. And then celebrating. A ritual can simply be about celebrating your life, your very being, your connection, the earth, the moon, the goddess. We're celebrating those things. We're bringing them forward, and we're making a statement. It's a conscious act. Rachel Pollack says that ritual opens a doorway in the invisible wall that seems to separate the spiritual and the physical. The formal quality of ritual allows us to move into the space between worlds, experience what we need, and then step back and once more close the doorway so we can return to our lives enriched. So this in the next 2 weeks, I would really strongly encourage you to memorize the charge of the goddess. And at minimum, take the time to recite this at the full moon, either outside with your arms stretched up to the moon, drawing the moon down to yourself, or inside where you can see the moon out the window. So whatever your mobility capacity is, just somewhere where we can make contact with the moon. And it will be, and just that, taking a little extra special space, special time to connect is going to be powerful. And I also encourage you to set up a little more formally and go ahead and have a full moon ceremony, full moon ritual for yourself. I've provided an outline for you, and then I will also provide a virtual recording if you would like to follow along with me instead of being completely self-directed. But I also encourage you to come up with your own ceremony as well. It doesn't have to be the one that I've provided. I provide that for you so that you have something to go with. But if you have other elements you'd like to include, please do that and share them with us. Tell us how it went for you and what you experienced with your ceremony. And as I said, just do what you can where you are with what you have, while at the same time recognizing that you're worth it and taking a little extra time for a little extra specialness, a little extra magic, going beyond the daily mindful awareness, going beyond that into something a little broader, a little bigger. That's worthwhile too. So I'd love to hear your practices, your daily prayers, the way you create sacred relationships, sacred space with the land, with the world around you. How do you do it? How do you tune into that magic? I'd love to hear about it, to know about how you create, maintain, and develop your awareness in your daily life. And I'm just going to go ahead and end real quick by playing this song that, just a second, this Sacred Space song. This is one that I often sing when I'm alone, and I workshopped it in a group about a month or so ago at a spring equinox ritual. And so I just like to leave you with that song and our work on it together, because it's one that I find myself humming, and that I wake up with it in my head, and one that I sing when I set up rituals for myself.
Sacred space, make sacred space.